Good morning. Our Bible reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel. Boys and girls, you don't need to look it up because the words will be on the screen. But if the adults want to turn to it, it's on page 1052, Luke 18, and verses 9 to 14. If I could have the text up on the screen. And I'm going to look up there, boys and girls, so I want you to look up there as well, all right? And follow the reading as I read it, okay? So this is, the Lord Jesus is telling us a story. So Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the word of God to us this morning. Now, adults, you will find it really helpful to have your Bible open again at Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Boys and girls, will you all look this way, please? All look this way. Anything in your hands, put on the floor, all right, so it's not going to distract you. Want you to sit up straight. Come on, shoulders back. All right, eyes open. Make your eyes open. Pin back your ears. Wind up your brains. And zip up your mouths unless I ask you to speak. Because we're going to learn together from this part of the Bible. And as we start, I want you to think about this word. The word shocking. Can you do that? Shocking. Now, when is something shocking? Something is shocking when it happens and we go, no way, that cannot be right. All right, school, can you all look really shocked? Go, shocking. You don't look shocked enough. Come on. Shocking. Let me tell you a story. This little story is about Anna Average, Norman Naughty, and Sophie Sogood. All right? And Anna Average, Norman Naughty, and Sophie Sogood, they were all in the same class at school. And they were told that one child in the class was going to be chosen to go to Buckingham Palace to have tea with the Queen. So they were having some conversations. Well, Anna and Norman were having a conversation. And Anna said to Norman Naughty, Norman, it won't be you. You're so naughty. There's no way you'll be chosen to go to Buckingham Palace. And Norman said, well, Anna, you won't go either because you're just average, so you won't go. Sophie Sogood was thinking, though, I'm sure it's going to be me. And in fact, Norman said to Anna, I'm sure it'll be Sophie who gets picked. She's so good, isn't she? Then came the day that the teacher said who was going to go for tea with the Queen at Buckingham Palace. And the teacher said the child in the class going to meet the Queen is Norman Naughty. And everyone said, that's shocking. Come on, do it with me. Everyone said, that's shocking. In fact, Anna Average said, no way, it shouldn't be Norman, he's so naughty. Norman said, no way, it shouldn't be me, I'm so naughty. Sophie Sogood said, no way, it shouldn't be Norman, it should have been me. So you got the idea about when something is shocking. Now this morning, we're actually going to learn together about what I want to call God's shocking mercy. And we discover it's even more shocking than Norman Naughty being invited to go to tea with the Queen. Now, to understand God's, can you do this with me? God's shocking mercy. To understand God's shocking mercy, we have to understand some things about us. Now, this term, we've been learning things about us as human beings. So we've been learning that all human beings, men and women, boys and girls, we're all made in the image of God. We're all made by God in order to love, worship, and obey Him. But I want to tell you three more things that the Bible teaches us about God today. And these things are about us all. Now, I've lost my bits there. They're about us all. All right, so are you an all? Are you included in all? You sure? Hands up if you're included in all. That's all of us, all right? So we all, this is what, we're going to learn things that are true of us all. And here's the first one. The Bible says that we are all sinners. That means that we have all done and we all do things that God says are wrong. We sin. Can anyone spell the word sin for me? Anyone spell the word sin? Yeah, yes? Okay. No. S-I-N. That's sin. Now look at the word sin on the board. What letter is in the middle of the word sin? What's the middle letter in sin? Yes? I. And you know what sin is all about? Sin happens when I do what I want to do instead of what God tells me I should do. And we all sin. Do you know, we don't have to be taught to sin. I was watching a little boy on Thursday morning. He's just under two. He'd been told by his daddy that he couldn't have any cake. And do you know what he did? He lay on the floor, he kicked his legs, and he screamed at the top of his voice. Why? Because his mum and dad weren't letting him do what I want to do. All right? Has anyone ever done that? Oh, you're very honest. That's very good. And the truth about sin is this, that sin is sin, however we might change it. You see, if I turn the S upside down, and the I upside down, and the N upside down, what do I get? Sin. In other words, lots of people say, I don't like the word sin, but listen, if we're doing what I want to do, and not what God says I should do, then I am a sinner. All sin is bad, we all sin, and that means that I have to put this round my neck. I am a sinner. So are we all. And here's a question. As God looks at us as sinners, how do you think He looks at us? Do you think He looks at us with a smile or with a scowl? How do you think God looks with us sinners? How do you think He looks with us? A smile or a scowl? What do you think? Someone answer? Ben? Okay, yes? With a scowl. That's right. And it's right that God should look at us with a scowl. And that leads to the second thing that I must tell you is true of all of us because we are sinners. Here's the second word. The second word is that we are guilty. Now, to be guilty is to deserve to be punished for what we've done wrong. Now, will you think about your family for a moment, all right? What happens in your family when you do something wrong and mum or dad find out about it? Hands up if you're ever sent to the naughty step. Anyone have the naughty? Oh, some people have the naughty step. Hands up if you're ever sent to your bedroom when you've been naughty. Oh, Glenn's sent to his bedroom. Hands up if you're not allowed to watch the TV or have screen time when you're naughty. Yes. Now, punishment like those things is right. If we've done wrong, we are guilty and we deserve to be punished. It's right we're punished. And the Bible says that because we're all sinners, we are all guilty. And that means that also I need to put this round my neck. I have to tell you that I am a sinner and I am guilty. I deserve to be punished by God. But how do we know that we're guilty? Well, we know we're guilty as we put ourselves up against what in the Bible are called God's Ten Commandments. Do you know God's Ten Commandments? I'll get this one, sorry. Do you know God's Ten Commandments? Do you know the Ten Commandments? Here they are on this scroll. The Ten Commandments, first of all, we're told God must be first in our life. He must be number one. The second commandment is we must have no idols. We mustn't make God into what we want him to be. We must worship him as he really is. Number three is all about honoring God's name. We must treat God's name with respect. Number four is remember the Sabbath day. It's right that one day in seven should be set apart for God. Number five, oh, here's a hard one, is honor your parents. That means we should do what mum and dad say and respect them. Number six, no murder. We shouldn't harm other people. Number seven, no adultery. Now, the grown-ups all know what that means, but it means that marriage is special. Number eight is no stealing. We mustn't take things that don't belong to us. Number nine is lies. We must always tell the truth. Number 10 is no coveting. It means we mustn't always be wanting what other people want and being jealous of them. Now, this is how God wants us all to live. But look at this verse from the Bible. Look at it on the screen. It says this. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all. So, for example, if I tell a lie, which commandment am I breaking? If I tell a lie, which commandment am I breaking? Can you see? Pardon? Number?
Nine.
Number nine. Okay. Here it is here, number nine. So I've broken the commandments, haven't I? If I disobey mum and dad, what commandment do I break? Yes, Caleb? Number five. And if I'm selfish and just live for myself and don't live for God, which commandment am I breaking? It could be number three. It could be, it's number two. Number one, isn't it? But you see what I've done? I've broken the commandments. And the Bible says that because I have broken God's commandments, I am guilty. And that all means the third thing, which is true about us all. It means that we all need mercy. In other words, we need God to do something so that we don't get the punishment we deserve as guilty sinners. Now, I want you to imagine for something for a moment. All right? I want you to imagine that this man is me. All right? He's a lot more handsome than me, but just imagine that this man is me. All right? So what am I? I am a... Hang on a minute. I am a sinner, and I am guilty. Now, as a guilty sinner, one way of thinking about it is like this. That being a guilty sinner is being like in a deep hole, a deep, deep hole. The dark hole of God's punishment against sin. And I'm stuck in this hole. There's no way I can get out of this hole. There's no ladder or rope or anything that I can make to get out of this hole myself. I need God to do something to rescue me. And that means that I am someone who needs, can you say it with me? Mercy. I need mercy. In fact, what I need is, can you do it with me? I need God's shocking mercy. And it's because these things are true that we need to listen to the story that we read in Luke chapter 18. It's called a parable. That's a story Jesus told because there's something very important he wants to teach us. And in this story, there were two men. Now, I need two volunteers. but I've already asked for them. Can I have, where is he? Tim, will you stand over there? And Glenn, will you stand over there? All right, so this story is about two men. Now, these two men, they are all, aren't they? They are included in the word all. So let's see. So the first man, if you're a part of all, you're a, what is he? A sinner, and that means that he's also, what's this one say? He's also guilty. And what about this man over here? What's he, a? He's a sinner, and that means he is guilty. He deserves to be punished. And hang on a minute. And that means that they both, what does he need? He needs mercy. And what about this man over here? He's a guilty sinner as well. What does he need? Mercy. He needs mercy. Now, Jesus told the story about these two men. And these two men, they both lived in Jerusalem. And one day, Jesus said, both of them went up to the temple to pray. Now, before you come up, all right? Before you come up, the temple was the place where you went to meet God in those days. And it was on a high hill, which is why it was said you went up to the temple. Because I think it was because God is much bigger and greater than us. And so you had to go up to God. So these two men went up to the temple to pray. Now, we are told something about these two men. We're told that one of them was a man called a Pharisee. Okay, so that's why he's got a big P there. And the other man was a tax collector. Now, these words that describe them tell us some important things about them. If we were to see the Pharisee, if we were to see him in the street, we would probably immediately think that he was someone who lived under God's smile. Because you see, the Pharisee was the kind of person who often went to the temple. He's the kind of person who would often talk to God. He'd often pray. He'd often talk about doing good things. He'd talk about how it is we can please God. And yeah, you would just think that he was a kind of good person, a bit like Sophie Sogood, all right? The tax collector couldn't be more different. The tax collector was someone who didn't often go to the temple. And the tax collector was the kind of person who, well, we probably would have thought, can you hold that for me, please, Mr. Taxlight? We probably would have thought that he was someone who lived under God's scowl. You see, as we think of the Ten Commandments, remember the Ten Commandments? Well, this tax collector, he'd done all sorts of terrible things. So, for example, you know this one, no stealing? Well, he'd stolen from lots of people. You know that thing, no lies? Well, he told lies almost every day. In fact, he did tell lies every day. And when it came to putting God first, well, he never put God first. He put himself first all the time. He was a horrible, horrible, horrible man. You think Naughty Norman was bad? He was terrible. And so if we'd met the tax collector, we'd have definitely said he was someone who lived under God's scowl. So they both went up to the temple to pray. And what they said as they prayed was very, very different. They actually tell us important things about him. So we'll start with the Pharisee, shall we? Now, the Pharisee, when he got to the temple, he stood, I think he probably stood right in the middle of the temple so everyone could see him. In fact, he wanted everyone to see him. So I think what we should get him to do is to stand on this chair. All right? So he stood on this chair, and the Bible says he prayed about himself and to himself. I think he probably had his nose in the air. And just listen to how the Pharisee prayed.
Even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.
Now, did anyone notice the word that he used four times in his prayer? What's the word he used four times in his prayer? Yes? He used the word I. Now, what's the word I in the middle of? Sin, isn't it? Now, actually, I think the Pharisee in his prayer was saying he didn't agree with God. I can't reach up there. Sorry, you're too high for me. Okay? You see, actually, rather than saying, I'm a sinner, what was he saying? Well, in the way he prayed, he was saying, I think I'm quite... Oops, sorry, Mr. Pharisee. I think I'm quite good. Rather than admitting that he was guilty as a sinner, he said, well, I'm really quite good, and therefore, I don't think he thought he was guilty. He seemed to be saying to God, I'm not guilty. And he wasn't saying, oh, I need mercy from God. No, instead, in the way he was praying and about all the things he did, like giving money and not going out without food for a while, he was saying, look, I don't need mercy. That's what he was doing. What about the other man, the tax collector? We're told, Jesus tells us, that he stood at a distance. I think he probably went where he thought no one could see him. And he wouldn't even lift his head to heaven. And his head was down. I wonder if there were tears running down his cheeks. And the Bible says that he beat his breast, which in Bible times was a sign of being sorry and really, really sad about something. And listen to the way he prayed.
God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Only seven words. But you see, in saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, what was this tax collector saying? He was agreeing with God. He was saying, yes, I am a
sinner.
Yes, I am. And yes, I need
mercy.
And he was saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And here is the shock of the story Jesus told. Look at what Jesus said, having told the story. He said, I tell you that this man, that's the tax collector, rather than the other man, the Pharisee, went home justified before God. Now, you may not know that word justified, but come here, Mr. Tax Collector. Let me put this around your neck. Justified is a really important Bible word. Do you know what justified means? It means not guilty. And Jesus said that it was this tax collector who said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, who God then said, you're not guilty anymore. You're forgiven of all your sins. Now, do you remember what we said earlier? Do you remember that we said that probably if we'd seen Mr. Pharisee, we would have thought that God's, what would God have over him? His
smile.
And we thought that Mr. Tax Collector, he was someone that God would
scowl
over. But as Mr. Tax Collector left the temple that day, because he was now justified, he'd been declared not guilty by God, he therefore left the temple under God's
smile.
But Jesus said that the Pharisee, who had just prayed about himself and had basically said, I'm good, I'm not guilty, I don't need mercy because I can do it myself, he actually went home under God's scowl. Now, what are we supposed to learn about this? Well, it's a bit like Norman Naughty, isn't it? Don't you think that it's a bit...
shocking.
Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Don't you think it's a bit
shocking?
It is. It's God's shocking mercy. And what we're learning this morning is this. We're learning that God's shocking mercy is shown to the humble, not to the proud. Now, can you do that with me? So we're going to go, God's shocking mercy is shown to the humble, not the proud. Can you do that with me? Ready? So God's shocking mercy is shown to the humble, not the proud. Now, boys and girls, we all sit here. Look at me. This is something we all need to learn. It's something I've had to learn. Boys and girls, when I was growing up, I was like, just like lots of you. I was brought up in a family where the Lord Jesus was loved. So I went to church every week. I went to the equivalent of treasure hunters. I knew lots about Jesus. I knew lots about the Bible. If ever there was a quiz, I always put my hand up. I always knew all the answers. I probably thought I was quite good. And without knowing it, do you know who I was like? I was like the Pharisee. I thought I was better than other people. But I remember when I was a teenager, one Sunday evening, there was a talk in church from the part of the Bible that we've just been thinking about. And as I heard the minister speak, I became very aware that I am a sinner, that I am guilty as a sinner, and that I need mercy. And I remember the preacher saying, God can have mercy on us because Jesus died on the cross for us. And all of a sudden, it started to make sense. And I'd always known that Jesus had died on the cross, but it made sense as to what the cross of Jesus had to do with me. You see, will you think about Jesus for a moment? Would you move over a little bit, Mr. Pharisee? Just move that way a bit. Thank you. So I want you to imagine that this is Jesus, and I'm going to take off these things that Mr. Pharisee put round his neck, which aren't true, okay? Was Jesus a sinner? No, Jesus was perfectly good. Was Jesus guilty? No, Jesus was not guilty. He didn't deserve to be punished for his sins because he didn't have any sins. Did Jesus need mercy? No, he didn't need mercy. But here's what the Lord Jesus did when he died on the cross. The Bible explains that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, these have got all mixed up. Hang on a minute. There we go. The Bible explains that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he took upon himself all my sins. The Bible says that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he took upon himself all my guiltiness. He took upon himself all my need of mercy. And you know why he did that? He did that in order to rescue me from the dark pit of punishment that I deserve as a guilty sinner. He did it so it would be right for God to forgive my sins as I prayed, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's why, as the Lord Jesus hung on the cross, we're told in the Bible that all through his life, the Lord Jesus had always lived under God's smile. In fact, at his baptism, God the Father said of Jesus, with you I am well pleased. But as the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he came under the scowl of God the Father. For 3 hours it went dark as Jesus died on the cross, as he took upon himself my sin, my guilt, my need of mercy. He took the dark punishment that I deserve, all so that I might live under God's smile. This might help you to understand. What's this? A poppy. This is Remembrance Day. We remember on Remembrance Day many, many men and women who died for the sake of this country in time of war. During the Second World War, there were some soldiers from the UK who were prisoners of war in Thailand. And as prisoners in this prisoners of war camp, every day they had to go out and work. They had to dig holes with shovels. And every day they'd be given a shovel. And then when they returned at the end of the day, they had to hand the shovel in. Well, one day they'd been out digging these holes in the hot sun, and they came back, they handed in their shovels, and the guard shouted at them that someone had stolen a shovel. He got really angry. He said, "We counted the shovels, and they're not all there. Someone has stolen one. It must be because they want to escape." And the guard got angrier and angrier, and he had all the soldiers standing up in a row. So imagine the soldiers standing in a row, all standing like that. And he said, "Unless the person who's stolen the spade stands forward, I'm going to kill you all. I'm going to punish you all." No one moved. The guard got angrier and angrier. And at that moment, a British soldier who was standing there, he stood forward and said, "I took the shovel." And immediately, this angry guard killed him. They then recounted the shovels, and they discovered there were no shovels missing. No one had stolen a shovel. But that one soldier had stood forward. He hadn't done anything wrong, but he stood forward. And he took the punishment so that the others would live. Now, that's not a perfect story, but it gives us an idea of what was happening as the Lord Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross in order that as sinners cry out to God, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner," God will forgive us. God will, what was the big word we've learned? He will say we are justified. He will say we are not guilty, and we can start living under his smile. What have we been learning this morning? Can you do it with me again? We're going to say all of this here. All right, ready? God's shocking mercy is shown to the humble, not to the proud. Try it again. God's shocking mercy is shown to the humble, not to the proud. Look how Jesus ended his story. He said, "For everyone who exalts himself," that's proud about themselves, "will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted." You see, this morning, boys and girls, it's not what other people think of you that matters. It's not what you think about yourself that matters. It's what Jesus sees. It's what he says about you that matters. And Jesus told this story because he doesn't want us to be like the Pharisee who didn't think he needed God's mercy. But he wants us to be like the tax collector who said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." When I was a teenager, on the day I heard a talk from this part of the Bible, and I was told, "God can have mercy on us because Jesus died on the cross for us," I remember at the end of the service simply praying, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And he did. And he continues to have mercy on me. Because when we become Christians, we don't stop being sinners, but we're those who live constantly depending upon the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. Have you ever said to God, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner"? You could do it now, and you could go home this morning living not under God's, but under God's smile. Because, can we say it one last time? God's shocking mercy is shown to the humble, not to the proud. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, thank you for this story that the Lord Jesus told to help us understand your shocking mercy. Thank you that you do show mercy to the humble, not to the proud. Father, we confess that we're sinners. We are guilty. We need your mercy. If we've never asked you to have mercy on us, would you help us even now to say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Please hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.